listen, at this time, I'm going to bring Mike Mobley. I hope I'm pronouncing the name right, Mike. I'll mess up something right now with a name. Good morning,
no,
Mike.
No, no, you said it right. Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. So, listen, I would like it, if you can, to share about your ministry or the ministry that you're part of, and share with us about, is marriage only between a man and a woman? And just tell us all as much as you would like to tell us about you. And you have the floor. I'm turning everything over to you. I'll be right here. If you need to share something with me or ask me a question, I'll be right here. But I got so excited when I read this over on Google. I said, how can I get a hold of this guy? And, you know, God before you, he's more than. So he went beyond what I could think of and showed me a way to contact you. And I got a response. I was so excited. Yeah. So we're grateful to have you this morning. And, again, I'm turning the floor over to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you. Good morning. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity in your ministry as well. And I'm a pastor here in Austin, Texas. We're planting a new church here in the kind of central Austin downtown area. We started last year. It's called Austin Life Church. And I've been in ministry probably for the past decade or so. God called me into ministry. And I didn't think that was going to happen, you know, growing up. But like you're saying, God has his ways, and his thoughts are much higher and better than ours. And so I've been married for the past 8 years, to my beautiful wife, Joelle, and I have, a daughter and a son, daughter Peyton. She's 5 years old. And, my son's name is Matthew. He's 3. And so we're here in Austin, kind of getting a new church underway. And then I've started a website called Before the Cross, about 7 years ago. And really just started writing out of obedience to what I believe God was just telling me to write. And really just maybe for my own personal obedience. And then over time, I had, you know, different people tell me, hey, you should share this stuff publicly. And so I just started doing that, just kind of one post at a time. And it's kind of taken off over the years. And so I'm always just blown away at the way God uses different posts to interact people. Just the whole goal is really just to glorify God by sharing the love of Christ. And we can do that in so many different topics and ways in our culture. There's always certain things to talk about. And so just been doing that over the years. And like you mentioned, there is, you know, the topic of marriage, which I'll talk about in just a second. I wanted to encourage you. I love that you were saying ministry is not just for the pastors, because when you think about all of our roles out there, you know, pastors maybe make up 1% of the workforce, even, you know, in the world. And just imagine how many people, how many followers of Jesus can impact the world who will never be called pastor. And I just love what you were saying. I'm sorry. I know I'm kind of deviating here, but I wanted to point that out. I love
you're
that you
good.
Said that. Because, yeah. Yeah. And we're all equipped for ministry. And whether you're a pastor or a school teacher or, you know, a plumber, whatever it is, there's value and purpose in not only in your job to benefit the city and people, but just to be a minister yourself. And so I just love that you said that. I think more people just need to hear that and be reminded, because you don't have to have everything together, and you don't have to be a scholar in order to serve Jesus and make him known and share the gospel with others. God uses everyday people all the time, and we're all everyday people. So just I love you said that. So yeah, in regards to marriage, yeah, something I wanted to share this morning is just, you know, we live in a day and a culture where it's kind of obvious now, you know, marriage is something that it never really used to be. You know, what used to be something more, probably what you would call guarded and sacred, is now really unprotected and ungodly. Even the definition of marriage itself is up for grabs, and just kind of whatever seems to be the most popular in any given year or decade just seems to now start winning on what the culture likes to say, what marriage really is. But, you know, when subjects like these, whether it's marriage or other ones, when they seem to kind of spiral out of control, you know, how are we as followers of Jesus supposed to make sense of it? You know, what is marriage, and is it only between one man and one woman? You know, I think these are questions we need to answer. You know, we need to think about that, because can you imagine if there was no definition of marriage, what would it look like? You know, it may look a lot like what it is today. You know, it could be kind of all over the place. It could just be constantly changing over the years and over the next couple of decades. But, you know, at the end of the day, we really need to answer, is there a definition, and is it only between one man and one woman? And so just before I kind of answer that question, you know, I wanted to talk about a couple popular viewpoints that are out there today. There's kind of two. There's one in particular, and there's another one that's probably kind of up and coming. So the first one, you know, a same-sex marriage, you know, that type of marriage, it can be defined as a man marrying another man or a woman marrying another woman. Most of the battles kind of in favor of this, people who really are pushing for a same-sex marriage just to be, you know, legal all over the place, really is to have spousal benefits and parenting rights, and they don't want to be discriminated against, since these were only available, you know, in marriages with one man and one woman back in the day. So in 2004, Massachusetts, it was the first state to legalize same-sex marriage over spousal benefits and parenting rights. And what happened next, you know, by now, you know, we're in 2018, we kind of noticed what happened next. It just kind of sparked across the country this same-sex marriage kind of debate, you know, and we should make it legal over here and over there. And so we kind of saw all that, that kind of just spiraled out of control. And then today, obviously, we're looking, you know, from a culture's perspective, at multiple viewpoints and kind of arguments in marriage. And so that's kind of a popular one, same-sex marriage, probably not a shocker to any of us by now. Another one is plural marriage. That might be a little bit newer for some of us. It's also known as polygamy. It's been around for quite some time, but it's starting to gain some traction because once we, as a culture at least, changed the definition of marriage and we opened it up to something like same-sex, it kind of becomes a, okay, well, if we're going to do that, then why can't we do something else? And so when it comes to plural marriage, that's, you know, where a man can have multiple wives or a woman can have multiple husbands. You know, the viewpoint behind that, people in favor of that are just kind of thinking, why just one man or one woman, or, you know, a man and a man together, why just one? Why can't there be multiple? And I just think at the end of the day, we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. And the fact that the culture is just kind of headed that way, you know, a culture that's not necessarily going to put Jesus first in everything. You know, I believe today if Jesus was here, we would have the same culture who would end up, you know, ultimately crucifying him again. And so we can look at our world and see there's obviously a great need for Jesus and that he's not going to be first across a sinful and broken world right now. And so we can't be surprised, you know, when something like marriage is starting to be redefined from the culture's perspective. And so real marriage, you know, so the real biblical definition of marriage, and obviously this is the one I would support, you know, to define it, we got to look at the Bible. And the Bible is 100% truth. Yes, I mean, men wrote down the words back in the day, but the Holy Spirit led them the entire way, making it absolutely perfect. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and the training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the Bible has never been proven wrong, and it never will be, really. There's always going to be arguments against it, but at the end of the day, even the more evidences and science and other stuff that comes out, it's actually just proving it more and more to be true, which is incredible. But as followers of Jesus, we got to remember we're going to feel the pull of culture pulling us, you know, to the left and to the right and wanting us to redefine things, similar to Satan tempting Eve in the garden, saying, did God really say, you know, this? Did God really say that? And we're up against a culture that's going to go, well, is marriage really just between, you know, a man and a woman? Does it really say that, or does it really mean something else? And so we really, as Christians, have got to make sure we're spending time in the Word. And that's got to be daily. It can't just be a little checkbox we mark off and move off, you know, move on 30 seconds later. We've got to read it. We've got to abide in Christ. And the more we read it, the more we'll recognize when false teachings kind of come our way. And so back to marriage, the first marriage in human history, it came from Adam and Eve. God made it clear in the beginning, when there were only two people, one male, one female, that man would leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. So Genesis 2:22-24 says, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, that at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. See, from the very beginning, God created us male and female and made mention that as we become married as male and female, man cannot separate it. Nothing can separate that. Mark 10:6-9 says, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So marriage, at the end of the day, according to the Bible, is between a man and a woman only. Even when you're talking about something like temptation, the Bible speaks out about how each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. So 1 Corinthians 7:2, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. And so it's over and over stated again in the Bible that there's no such thing at the end of the day as a same-sex, plural, or any other kind of marriage in the Bible, except for the only one that is between one man and one woman. But I think something important to note is I'm talking about the way the Bible defines marriage. So the world, like we said earlier, they're going to define it differently. And we need to really be careful how we respond as followers of Jesus. Absolutely with truth. Jesus did that himself. But we got to make sure we're responding with grace. John Maxwell, he has a great quote saying, Christians need to decide whether they're going to spend their lives correcting people or connecting with them. And I just think it's a good word for us today. We often get into a topic like marriage, and it's emotional, and it's still fairly new as far as it being defined. It was only 2004 when this, you know, when the first one became, same-sex marriage became legalized. That I just think we need to be careful that we're not condemning others just when sin is present. You know, just because the world is acting like the world, and when non-believers act like non-believers, we can't get shocked by that. And if you really think about it, we were all there at some point in the past. And we still struggle today. We're still not going to get it perfectly right. But before we were followers of Jesus, we also were anti-God and anti-Jesus. And were against many things in Scripture before we became followers. And so we got to remember we love others because Jesus first loved us. That's 1 John 4:19. And that if you think about the way Jesus spent his time, most people kind of pass over this when he was accused to be a gluttonous drunkard, you know, a guy who ate and drank all the time. I mean, he earned that reputation. And the reason he earned that reputation is because he was eating and drinking with sinners all the time. He was spending time with them. You know, was he getting drunk or doing anything sinful like that? Absolutely not. It's perfectly sinless in every single way. But he was spending time with people and getting to know them and loving them. And Jesus never shied away from the truth. In fact, Jesus was very direct with the word with people. But it was very captivating to them, I think, because he cared for them and they could sense that. And so as Christians ourselves, when we're talking to people who are struggling with marriage, or they disagree that it's between one man and one woman only, we can't just write them off and just say, well, you're wrong, and move on. I think a challenge for us is to be thinking, are we eating and drinking with those people? You know, are we spending time with them and getting to know them, even if they're in an unbiblical marriage? You know, what difference is that versus other sins they could be in because they're not even Christians to begin with? And so I just think there's going to be all sorts of new marriages down the road. And the way we love people and build relationships with them, it shouldn't change at all because of the way Jesus modeled it for us. We can't be shocked when new things come into the culture that are going to be anti-Bible. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, is marriage only between one man and one woman? Yes. And that's what the Bible says. And the Bible is the authority. That's what God says. And he is the creator and designer of marriage. So I think he knows what's best and how it all works since he created everything. And it's really, that's the only way marriage and really also families work. And we'll continue to see that play out over time because I think we'll see biblical marriages producing fruitful families. Other type of marriages will involve some pretty big consequences. Again, not because we're looking down on others in that, but just because we know this is the way God has designed it. And so we're going to see over the next couple of decades, these families and these marriages that have played out in an unbiblical way, there's going to be consequences. And in that moment, we as followers of Jesus, we can't point at people and say, aha, I told you so. You shouldn't have done that. That's exactly the moment we need to rush in with love and grace with people, because that could be the pivotal moment that many people turn to Jesus and realize, why isn't this working? And they want help. And so people are going to remember us more of how they felt when they interacted with us. Did we genuinely want to know them and spend time with them versus us just telling them, hey, you're wrong, and moving on. And so I think the church as a whole, we've got to be bold. We've got to speak up about what real marriage is in a day where the definition can be confusing to so many. But at the same time, we got to remember we need to love and minister to those who don't have an accurate understanding of what marriage is before we just write them off with their own sin. We can't do that. Because at the end of the day, we need to remember just how sinful we still are and how much at the end of the day we all need Jesus. So on our good days or on our bad days, we need Jesus just the same. And we want to make much of him and glorify him with everything that we do. So speak boldly, be courageous about the truth of the word and what the Bible says, and just be led with grace and peace along the way, you know, as you interact with others.